The explosion of podcasting and OTT is a sign that the internet has morphed from a text and picture medium to one that more resembles a broadcast medium. Are newspapers able to grasp this new multimedia world, or are they being left behind? We'll explore that topic and interview someone with a dream to leverage local newspaper stories into podcasts in today's episode.
Welcome to the Local Marketing Trends Podcast, bringing you unique insights from two of the industry's brightest analysts and forecasters, Corey Elliott and Gordon Burrell. Today's podcast is sponsored by Conduit Digital, your elite performance partner for white-label digital marketing, and the Media Audit, providing market-level consumer insights for more than 20 years. And now, here are your hosts, Corey and Gordon.
Hello, this is Corey Elliott with Burrell Associates, and with me is the namesake, Mr. Gordon Burrell.
Hello, everybody, and hello, Corey.
Hello, Gordon. How are you?
Good. Great to be here as the summer starts off, and we're going to be talking about newspapers. One of my favorite topics is that's where I started my career.
As did I.
You did? I didn't know that. Doing well.
Well, way back in the day, I was sitting at the Arizona Republic out in Phoenix, Arizona. Thank you very much.
What'd you do out there?
Just swept up, emptied container. No,
Something that fit your capabilities, I see.
It was back then, it was the novel idea of, wow, could we use research to help advertising? Isn't that a corker?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We both come from a newspaper background, and newspapers were all that, you know, back in the 90s, certainly the 80s and the 90s, and as the internet came along, really did seize the internet in a great way. Our very first report as a company doing benchmarking reports was on newspapers and what newspaper websites earn. That was the name of it, because after the dot-com bubble burst, newspapers said, "Ooh, we're not just going to give away all of our content on the web, the World Wide Web. We are going to begin to charge for it and sell advertising around it." And so
we're going to try to claw it back after giving it away. That's the problem.
Yeah. And so even today, Corey, the benchmarking report that we published back in April last month shows that newspapers get more digital revenue, even though they're smaller than television in terms of total revenue now. They get more digital revenue than anybody else, but television included. $3.1 billion local newspapers got last year in digital revenue. So in that sense, they're still the kingpins, but they really have lost it in this last benchmarking report, are really signs that they are losing that dominance in digital.
That $3.1 billion, that represents what, about a third? Of the overall
about a third, about a third. Yeah. And for TV and in radio, it's more like 20%. So 17-20%, something like that. So they're, you know, more of their total revenue is coming from digital ad revenue, that is. And they certainly felt a lot of pain because of classifieds. But now as the internet has morphed into more of a broadcast medium, we have podcasting and OTT. And, you know, I'm wondering whether it could be, and we do have some signs of slippage, I guess, that, you know, coming out of the pandemic, newspapers are like, wow, you know, we're not doing all that well in digital. We really haven't seized the OTT, or we don't know what the hell to do with podcasting.
Well, that's the interesting thing. If you kind of break it down between newspapers, TV, and radio in a local market, right? Newspapers lost out in that there's no natural digital evolution. TV is to online video and OTT. Radio is to podcasting and online audio. Newspaper is to what? Newspaper is the written word, right? I mean, I know a lot of people argue with that, but like I said, if TV is video, radio is audio, newspaper is printed, written word, that's come and gone on the internet.
The bigger part of it was classified advertising. It wasn't the news content. And I think that's where a lot of newspapers really fumbled. They thought, it's all about our content. And then realized that the most read content, at least half of the audience said that the first thing they read is the advertising. You know, it was in for Sunday papers. So it was paid content when you think about it. But, you know, what happened during the pandemic, and we watched this closely, was that digital revenues for TV and radio increased. And for newspapers, it decreased. Not for everybody. We did see an increase for Lee newspapers, I think, had an increase in total digital revenue, just a couple of percentage points. And so did Gannett, you know, big public companies had an increase in digital revenue. 33% up digital circulation. So we had, you know, those indicators. But overall, digital revenues for newspapers declined. And one of the hottest things, here's a big indicator, one of the hottest things, Corey, that or the hottest thing that was sold last year, managers told us across the board, all media, was what?
OTT.
There you go. OTT. And so we broke that out and said, okay, let's talk about the largest, you know, source of digital ad revenue for you. And for what, half of TV managers, the largest source was, you know, streaming video and OTT. And what percent of newspaper managers said that the hottest number one selling thing is the number one source of revenue for them?
Let me check my notes. Zero. That would be 0%, Gordon.
Yeah. I mean, that was, you know, that was like, oh, God, that's a little
and a fewer number of newspaper managers claim that their own digital strategy is brilliant. They're the least, I mean, I think it's like 18% of TV managers said, hey, our digital strategy is brilliant, and only 4% of newspaper managers. So something's going on inside of newspaper.
I think that's more of a factor of how people are feeling rather than whether the strategy is actually brilliant. If things are going really well, you think your strategy is going brilliant. And I say that because nothing changed in their strategies. It really didn't during the pandemic. It was just that, hey, this digital stuff that we've been planning for all along, you know, is selling more. And with newspapers, it was like, wow, it's not, I guess, because they weren't really, you know, into the OTT stuff as much as, say, TV was. So 4% of newspaper managers said that their digital strategy was brilliant. 18% of TV managers said their digital strategy was brilliant. And 10% of radio managers.
Right. And I think it's directly linked to the new things that are available. So does this mean newspapers have to venture into new territory?
Well, if the new territory is podcast and OTT, yes. There was another indicator. We're research guys, right? So we're looking at the research. For years, we were asking newspaper managers and TV managers, radio managers, answer these questions. Do you try to include digital in every pitch? Mm-hmm. Or is it solely the sales rep's discretion? Or do you rarely or never include digital in a pitch? Or, you know, do you put it in a pitch only where it makes sense? So for years, about 2/3 of newspaper managers, and they led the pack, 2/3, said we try to include it in every pitch. And radio and TV are going, that digital stuff, right?
Yeah, right.
So 2021 comes along, and the newspaper number doesn't change. It's still at 66%. And the laggards in radio, TV, where are they?
Yeah, they jumped. They jumped ahead of newspaper on both counts, I believe.
Here comes the broadcast part of digital media. So suddenly radio and TV have something else to sell. So they're trying to include it in every pitch. Newspapers are stuck. And I think, you know, the answer to it is, you know, they have formidable sales staffs. They do. It's still roughly as large as, say, radio, which is the largest. And all these advertisers need questions answered and they need to, you know, interact with somebody. So they have that. But unfortunately, the questions that they're really asking right now is, hey, can I get on TV? Can I do some of this stuff on Hulu or YouTube or whatever? So they really, I know a lot of them are doing stuff right now, but my suggestion is, wow, what data indicates, not enough.
Yeah. Like I said, I think it's time to venture into new territory, which brings up our guest, doesn't it?
That's right. We have Darian Sutherland, a guy who's a good old country boy. We've interacted with for, I guess, about a year, more than a year or so. He's got this idea about bringing podcasting to newspapers. Hey, why don't newspapers take their great content and create, you know, a daily podcast? That would be something simple to do. So let's hear from him. We'll do an interview with him right after this.
Conduit Digital is the elite white label digital marketing performance partner for successful agencies. We enable our partners to scale by acting as a certified expert extension of their in-house ad operations teams. If you're looking to solve hiring challenges, round out your suite of services, manage account overflow, or deliver best-in-class performance for clients, contact Conduit Digital. To learn more, visit conduitdigital.us.
If you're in advertising, you know how vital it is to have a good grasp of consumer behavior in your market. That's where the Media Audit comes in. The Media Audit provides data on consumer buying patterns and media consumption habits, accessible through an easy-to-use software platform. To learn how to access the data for your market, visit themediaaudit.com.
Okay, I've got with me Darian Sutherland. Darian, I've known for a couple of years now. Darian, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Gordon. It's a pleasure to be with you. You're the bomb. You're the expert.
I
love your stuff. Yes, sir.
Maybe. I don't know. My kids don't think that way. But let's talk about podcasting. I'm really intrigued. You contacted me a couple of years ago, I think it was, and just told me you were trying to do something with newspapers. And your theory was that newspapers, the smaller ones in particular, had all this great content, but they didn't really know how to do podcasts. Podcasts were in need of great content. And so you created the company. Tell us about that.
Like I said, we're an old radio guy. And one thing we understood was advertising and radio. Well, podcasts were a natural fit for our company. And we were seeing newspapers like our local paper here, the Marietta Daily Journal, keep losing readers because you've seen what's happened to the newspapers. We went to the local newspapers and said, hey, what about a podcast? Just as a beta test, as a trial. And they agreed to it. We started taking their daily content, putting it into a daily podcast, and then adding advertisers to it, just like we would back in the radio world. And it's flourished. We had other papers contact us since then. We've worked with them, and we keep growing it.
Okay, so nuts and bolts here. You guys selling the advertising, or does the newspaper sell it?
It's both. Everybody's different in the way they act. Every partner is different. Some want their staff to sell it. Some asked us to help them. So we do it both ways.
And give us an idea of the pricing of that. Is it $100, $200, $500 buy, $10,000 buy? What is it?
Well, we're in Metro Atlanta. So we're in the eighth largest market in the country. We get four ads a podcast. So we're generally looking at about $1,500 to $2,000 per month. We sell them by month. And the agencies see the value as well as the large local directs.
So how many newspapers you're working with?
Six.
And you just started right that. When did you start the company?
About a year and a half ago, we started the company 11 years ago. We were an advertising agency. We pivoted into podcasting about a year and a half ago, and it's grown since then immensely.
Mm-hmm. How's the revenue split work with the newspaper?
The revenue split, again, it varies per newspaper. If you were one of our early implementers, you got a much better deal than you do number six. So let me just leave it at that. But it's well worth the time because it's keeping their brand alive and it's giving them NTR in five figures right now.
Yeah, this is fascinating. You know, it's the marriage of radio, which we know, you know, is very marketing oriented, very multimedia oriented, now moving into video in a way, you know, really kind of hypey and everything versus, you know, black and white newspaper. They're all about content and rich, valuable content. And the marriage of those two just seems really interesting. Give me a couple of examples where it's worked and what you've learned, maybe some things that have failed.
Well, let me tell you real quickly what we've learned in regards to this. People love to know what's going on in their hometown. Let me give you an example. WSB, anybody that knows Atlanta, is the dominant force in radio and TV in this town. TV, they've got a 26% share. Radio, they've probably got a 12% share. They're not telling what's going on with the education board in Cobb County that affects schools. That's number one. They're not telling really local crime stories or events. Our listeners love that type of information. And quite frankly, just as we know with podcasts, crime and murder mysteries go to the top. Unfortunately, anytime there's a major crime in the Cobb County area, and Cobb County's got 880,000 people, larger than five states in America, the numbers go through the roof. And when I say go through the roof, I mean the listenership and the downloads go extremely high. You say, Darian, how does that measure against radio? Well, Gordon, here's what I've been preaching to our advertisers and what I've been preaching to our newspapers. If we take radio at their own game and we take a Nielsen book and we look at average quarter hour listeners in the county that the local hyperlocal newspaper is in, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, we look at how many, what the AQH is for that particular radio station. Our newspaper podcast and downloads alone would be a top 10 radio station in the market.
Right. AQH, for those of you in the newspaper business, is Darian?
Average quarter hours.
Right. Okay.
That's how many people are listening on average every 15 minutes.
Right. Do a little bit of a different language between the two media. So tell me this, the newspapers that would be prime to work with mm-hmm. you wouldn't be, it sounds like, daily. It might be several times a week or weekly newspapers where there's a gap between, you know, when they're actually going to publish and put their information out there or update their website. So you know, this is a more timely thing, right?
Yeah. Actually, Gordon, we've got one paper that we do 7 days a week, a podcast for, and it's a daily newspaper. Others, like you said, are biweekly or even once a week. So we service all kinds of papers at this point in the six we have. None of the six are exactly the same, which kind of hurts our template a little bit, but at the same time, it allows us the flexibility to do for our clients what's best for them.
Mm-hmm. And so how scalable is the business for you? Is this something that could be rolled out across, you know, the entire country? Is it just an experiment at this moment and you're learning some things?
You know what? I think our experiment has been the past year and a half, and we're constantly trying new things. How scalable is it? That's something we're measuring right now. We really feel like if we go to the right markets with the right partners, this will work without a shadow of a doubt. You see major newspapers now getting into the podcast world. So if it works for the big guys, no doubt it can work for the small guys.
I'm going to ask you a question. I already know the answer to it from personal experience. I ran something called an audio text system back in the late 80s. Some people remember that. It was information by telephone. So you look in an index in a newspaper, you know, the local sports roundup, the local news roundup, the local weather, et cetera. You call the number, you punch in the 4-digit code, and you got the information. We tried to get the people in the newsroom, even the columnists, to do the updates themselves. Oh my God, they were horrible. So here's the question.
Yeah.
Why not? You know, why don't the newspaper folks just do this themselves? I mean, it seems pretty simple. They got the content, they buy the recording equipment, boom, they're in the podcast business.
I guess one of the biggest surprises to me personally when we started working with newspapers is seeing the small staffs within each of these newspapers. A lot of newspapers are now operating, I mean, major household names around this country with less than 10 people at the whole paper. That includes writers, editors, salespeople, and management. And let's not forget the administrative people that it takes to work. They do not have time to do this, number one. Number two, if you're going to put a product out there with your name, you need to do it professionally and integrate professional sound to it. You don't need to just jump on a microphone. Anybody can create a podcast, Gordon. I mean, you and I could create a podcast on, I don't know, dragster racing tomorrow. Does that mean we know anything about racing dragsters? No. It just means we can do it because we have the technology at our hands. If you don't grab somebody's attention, like you say, in the first 18 seconds, you're not going to keep them around very long. And as an old adage says, you get one chance to make a first impression.
Darren, thank you very much for being on the show. I appreciate it. Hey, how do people get in touch with you?
The easiest way to get in touch with me, I'll throw my cell phone number out there because I'm on it 24/7.
Oh, my God, you're asking for it. We had somebody else do that, and they said, can we take that recording down? Can we take that podcast down?
I'll do it both. Both ways. My cell phone number is 678-520-6290, 678-520-6290. I'm a workaholic, ask my wife. Or my email address, d.sutherland, spelled just like it sounds, SOUTHERLAND, at bgadgroup. That's bgadgroup.com. Gordon, I appreciate it.
It sounds like you've done radio commercials before. This has turned it into commercial. You repeated your number twice. Pretty good.
You know what? You train one way, and you know, it's that great training I got from my prior company.
Good luck with your venture, Darian. You're a very energetic guy. Thank you for your persistence. I think you've emailed me about 150 times to be on the podcast. And see, persistence pays off. So good luck. I think you had a great idea. Good luck.
Thank you, Gordon, for all your help and your information. You've been a true inspiration. Thanks again.
Well, Gordon, he was a good old boy, wasn't he?
Darian's a great guy.
And you're the bomb.
I am the bomb.
The bomb.
The bomb. Oh, do you hear that? God. Well, let me ask you, since I did the interview, just did the interview, you react. Mm-hmm.
Well, a couple things. I mean, I think this is a great chance for newspapers. And it does seem like kind of small numbers, though.
It's small numbers because newspapers haven't jumped on board because they're going to podcast schmodcast. You know, we want to put our paywall up for people to come and read the print words. It's like, come on.
Well, I mean, that's the same fate that a lot of digital services that happen inside newspapers where they felt like they couldn't make any money on it. So, yeah, they're going to have to figure that portion out, I would imagine.
Yeah. And, you know, they also have to be as creative as radio in approaching this. If they do something like, you know, Darian was talking about average quarter hour. Did you hear that?
Yeah. Yes, I did.
Our podcast, if you took the average quarter hour for our podcast, it would be in the top 10. Well, let me tell you what the top, you know, five radio stations look like. At any given moment, they've got 700 people listening, right?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of radio folks are like, hey. But yeah, it is a small audience, and it's a niche audience. So if you're in the top 10, it's still really small. That's not the point. The radio folks are really able to sell because they're hypey, you know, right. They're great pitchmen, they're great salespeople. And you have to, and you don't see newspapers typically that way. They're more gray, right? So I think they're going to have to get a little more excited about the product and try some of these new things out. I think Darian's got a great product. I wish more newspapers would give it a shot.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, be careful of the measurement stuff, because I don't think you can compare downloaded podcasts to average quarter hour. They're just kinds of oranges and hubcaps or something. Yeah. I don't think you need to.
Yeah, it's still, you know, it goes back to that audience game. Who's got the bigger audience and how big actually is the audience? It's really about, you know, what type of action you get out of it. You know what?
Absolutely.
So it's more, it should be measured more on that.
Well, we're at the end of another 20 minutes of bombastic insights, Gordon.
We should call ourselves the Bombastic Duo.
Oh, no, let's not do that. Until next time, everybody.
Bombastic Duo signing off.
You've been listening to the Local Marketing Trends Podcast, sponsored by Conduit Digital and by The Media Audit. If you have ideas for future shows or guests, email the hosts at podcast@BorrellAssociates.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, market well.